I just heard a deep sigh. Three.
Nope.
Two. One.
You're older than dirt and your joints all hurt. Don't you know that it's been said? You reach a certain age when you get up in the morning.
You there?
If you're wondering why this theme song is a little bit different, there's some piece of shit in this, this chat. Houston's birthday it is. He's been a hindrance in my life for 7 years. 8 years. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Now you get to actually have to listen to our podcast to see what song is playing in the back that you can't hear.
I can just listen to the first 30 seconds.
That is true.
I can time it to me having birthday sex with my wife tonight. I can hit play. I'll have enough time to get undressed, foreplay, and then wrap it up.
All before that 20 seconds clip is done.
Exactly.
If you're listening for the first time, this is the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppy Head Productions. Welcome. Hopefully, Danny will try hard today. He's probably not going to try. He's been in lazy mode all week. Sitting at home in his underwear, drinking beer, like he does after work every day. Just doesn't not going to work though.
Yeah, actually, I've been pretty useful this week. I'm cleaning out some stuff. I found some things. I actually, we've been living at this place, my wife and I, for about 6 years now, and I officially hung a piece of art on the wall today.
You're finally gonna make it home, huh? It only took you 6 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we had the threat of, like, this place being bought out by this evil university that's across the street from us. That's why we had to move the last time we moved. So I just didn't want to jinx it.
That's fair.
So now I'm trying to jinx the jinx, apparently. But, yeah, if you go to our Instagram page, you can see how I classied up my bathroom with a piece of art.
You know, so at the end of the day, it sounds like you need more birthdays, because the only time you're a productive member of society, it's when it's your birthday.
Pretty much. Well, that's because I don't have to work. I can do what I want to do. I mean, it's only taken me 3 days, and I've actually done something productive.
3 days down, one day to finally do something productive.
Exactly. Oh, man. But it was pretty funny this morning, because I usually been at work for a few hours before my wife even, like, thinks about getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. And this morning, her alarm went off, and I guess she didn't turn it off all the way. She only turned it off the beeping sound where it went over to the radio.
Yeah.
And so about 10 minutes later, it went off again. And the dude on the radio was talking about how he thought he had turned his alarm off, but hit snooze and it went off again 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
I thought I was in like the Twilight Zone. It was pretty cool. I couldn't even be mad at my wife for doing that with her alarm, because that was like too perfect.
It does sound like it. That's funny.
So this last weekend, I was hanging out in good old Costa Mesa, California.
Costa Mesa.
Went out there, tried this Chicago pizza place called Rance's.
Hmm.
R-A-N-C-E.
Okay.
I mean, just based on my super racist assumption of the name of the place, that the guy's name is Lance and has a lot of Asian friends. But I was hanging out with my buddy who is from Chicago, and so I was reading about it, and all these reviewers were saying that it was the best Chicago in Orange County, so I figured I'd take him, challenge accepted mode, and see what he thought.
Oh boy, was he disappointed?
Actually, not at all.
Okay.
It was actually pretty good. He was very very pleasantly surprised. He had decided, we got the OG Chicago thick dish pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And even my wife, who normally, like, she was kind of just going along for the ride because she was outvoted 2-1 on the pizza choice, who normally doesn't like that. She hates that style. She thinks it's just too much, too cheesy and greasy, which I don't know why she married me if that's her problem.
You are fucking cheesy. But I do super. Love I do love a cheesy deep dish every once in a while.
Yeah, and so it was pretty good. It wasn't super cheesy. It wasn't greasy at all. The only downside is, like, if you go in on the weekend, you can't pre-order. You have to be at a table to order, and it takes, like, 40 to 50 minutes for the pizza.
Yep.
But to make up for it, they had about 10 pretty decent beers on tap, all, like, craft brews, no fake craft brews like Goose Island or anything like that, all authentic.
It's always a good start.
Yep. I ended up getting a Firestone Walker, their Wolf versus Bear beer, Leo versus Ursus. It was an IPA, but I didn't realize until I ordered it that it was a black IPA.
Okay.
It was pretty good. It was hoppy enough, but not super hoppy. The malt kind of balanced that out.
Okay. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, so and when you're in town, dude, we'll have to head out there. There's a few places that I've discovered that you're going to have to have a free day for, and we're going to just go out and get you drunk and fat. Or
I don't need help with that. I'll be like, oh, it's like I'm back home again.
Exactly. But with less snow.
Oh my god. I swear, and, man. If it could stay above 40 degrees for more than a day, I would be really excited.
Yeah, I had a lunch with my mom yesterday, and she asked me, Is it still cold right now in Michigan? And I'm like, well, it snowed like a couple days ago, so I'm pretty sure it's not warm yet. I mean, it's not 80 like it was for us. just thought I'd rub that in for you there, buddy.
It's okay. I don't care. I've lost hope. It is what it is. I just hide inside and craft a magical beer and play video games and call it a week.
And read all that you can on Ohio State so you can fit in with some of the locals.
No, I don't do that.
you haven't gone native yet?
No, I'll never go native. I'm just a rebel without a cause out here.
Did you see on Reddit how Green Bay Packer tickets being expensive saved some dude's life?
Yes, because he was donating blood, and then that was actually the cure to his like disease, right?
Yeah, he was donating blood so that he could play for his season tickets, and come to find out he had this rare disease where the only cure for it is bloodletting, but he didn't know it until he had been like basically donating blood all these years.
Mm-hmm. None of the symptoms probably popped up because he was already letting all the blood out, so he never had it. Like, the dam was never getting full of water to start the concern. It was just like, just let it go. I don't need it. I'm just going to replace it with beer and cheese when I go to the game.
Exactly. So now I wonder if, like, him giving that blood to other people, there's, like, a whole army of people with the same disease now.
Ooh, curious. I don't know. I wonder if it's, a little concerning that that all that blood is just floating out there. Hopefully it's autoimmune disease and it's not going to do anything to anybody.
Exactly. But while I was out in Costa Mesa, I also decided to hit up a couple breweries that I've been hearing about. And by a couple, I guess, we drank at one and then walked literally across the street to the other. Like, I had heard Barley Forge and Gunwale were across the street from each other. And we pulled in as we were parking for Barley Forge, literally right on the street, on the other side of the street was Gunwale. And so my buddy had said that he had been to Barley Forge a few times. He really liked it. So we decided to go there first. Walk in, and it's a small place, but they actually have a full menu of food, burgers, a bunch of other stuff. But we had just eaten the pizza, so we were pretty done on food. I ended up getting a couple beers there. I got their chocolate milk stout. That was pretty good. A full pour of that. And then I got a light pour of their – they had a sour that was called Travis Bickle, named after the, I guess, protagonist. I'm not going to say hero from the movie Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro, which if you haven't seen that movie, man, that's a pretty good movie back when before screening audiences made you change movies to have happy endings and the good guys always win.
Yeah,
or no. Where you had to like cheer for the good guy.
No, I never saw that.
And so then we made our way over just to check out Gunwale, and looking at their menu, I don't know if it's a place that we'll enjoy necessarily. They had IPAs, I guess, for you, but a lot of their other specialties are like saisons and farmhouse beers. Which, not so much for you?
It's just lighter beer, for the most part. There is some of the Scion. Some of that could be cold lagered, so... I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, we were pretty full on both food and beer after the pizza and a lot of beer. So, but I don't know for sure. I didn't confirm with anybody, but there was just some random beagle walking around inside, going up to everybody and saying hi and hanging out. And so, I think it might be just like an official greeter.
It makes sense. You need some of those.
Yeah, because it wasn't setting anybody. It was kind of just sitting by the door without a leash on and just hanging out. And so. You know, my wife sat by the door, just petted it, and was hoping we would have a few beers because she just wanted to sit there for as long as she could, petting a dog. But I guess the gods were smiling on us for going there, because as we were there, it was like sunny out, but then it started raining, and pretty much like a perfect rainbow formed right over us. So I guess we're where we're supposed to be for the leprechaun, the luck of the Irish.
Yeah, you were.
So from there we headed over. There's this company called Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
Well, that sounds very gentleman-like.
Yes, I mean it goes back to the old days back when hockey players used to get in fights and practically want to kill each other during games, but then like after the playoffs they'd stand in line and shake each other's hands. And, for the most part, be sincere about it. Like, basically, once the game was over, they don't hate each other anymore.
They're grown adults.
Exactly. So, they according to their website, they had a storefront down in Costa Mesa. So, we headed out there, and it basically is like, seemed like it was in the same kind of location that a brewery would be in. It was just like in a warehouse front. Mm-hmm. And so we go in there and like there's a dude there, pretty cool guy. His name was Chewy. Mm-hmm. We were talking to him for a little bit, but basically the way it worked was ordered everything on an iPad that they had in the store. Like basically you had to order it online and then they would just go back to the warehouse because it was a warehouse with just a little tiny like office room. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't necessarily a full storefront. So I guess now that I know that, I guess we saved the $7 shipping, is what the guy said, by not ordering it online.
Yeah.
But I got to, like, try it on, so it was pretty cool. Like, the idea was founded by new dudes, and it was, like, inspired by a hockey player named George Peros, who played for the Ducks and the Kings locally, and he was just one of those dudes that would fight. That was his job. He was a goon, basically. He
beat up the people.
Beat up the peoples. So I ended up picking up a couple of shirts and a hat. Oh, nice. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, and it was kind of like deep, like on the other side of the tracks in Costa Mesa.
Okay.
As my buddy said, we were deep in Costa Mexico.
Oh, man.
So from there we... Yeah, it wasn't wrong, I guess. Oh. So from there, we headed down to like our ultimate goal of why we were in Costa Mesa. There's this lady, she has runs a company called Fan Alley, and mm-hmm. We met her a couple years ago at an anime convention / it's like an Asian type weekend fair. So like they had like a bunch of different like foods and stuff there, but. They had like a little mini one section, at the LA County Fairgrounds actually was like a anime thing. And so we met her there. Mm-hmm. And basically at that time she had a storefront where she would co-sign basically all these local artists. So they would have a place to sell their art year round.
Okay. Yeah. I remember we talked about this before. That sounds familiar.
Yes. We had brought her up before. And so this last weekend she had a tribute to all Pixar movies show.
Okay, nice.
And so it was pretty cool. Like they had the pizza delivery truck that sent all the Pixar movies out front. You can take pictures with. They had a little statue of Wall-E inside. They had a bunch of different artists. It looked like some artists didn't show up because of the weather. It was kind of cold and there was a chance of rain. It kind of, a little bit after we left, it started sprinkling. So I don't know if people started packing up, but they had people outside in easy ups. selling their work, and they had some people inside. Mm-hmm. It was at an art school, so I guess the people inside were officially the students. That's why they got to be inside.
Yeah.
But then they also had a band playing called the 8-Bit Jazz Heroes. And we saw them at Anime Los Angeles. Got to watch them play. They basically take video game music and jazz it out. So for this show, they did a little bit of their video game stuff. Mostly they had arranged Disney and Pixar movies into the smooth jazz.
Every time I hear jazz, I just think of Careless Whisper. It just automatically starts going off in my head. Not really jazzy, but you know.
Wow, I know more of that than I probably should. I know I'm gay.
Jeez. There was other signs, but it's okay, man. It was funny because you remember that old video of that kid that was just playing like in the mall and shit, playing that song with no shirt?
Yes. Are you saying you masturbated to that video?
Hey, I thought we talked about that in private.
Hey man, with the podcast, nothing's private anymore.
I guess not.
We got to give the people what they want. They want the image of you beating it to some shirtless dude in a mall playing Careless Whisper
with a big ass saxophone. Crazy.
Man, I'll play his woodwind. What?
Oh man, good times.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. Ended up picking up some stickers, a couple prints, meeting some artists. I got a keychain of a cinnamon roll mariachi dude playing the maracas. Which, apparently I didn't know I needed that, but apparently I did.
You found out real quick you needed it.
I did. My buddy bought... I ended up bringing my buddy, the same buddy from Chicago. He ended up buying himself one. And then he was like, dude, you're getting one too. And I'm like, twinsies! Hashtag no homo.
My ship is ready for docking.
Exactly. I still need to find some dude that's uncircumcised and willing to get drunk and do that with me, man. Hashtag life goals. No, hashtag no homo.
No, there's false no. No, you don't get to say that.
I mean, I'll put like one of those, like, the breathing masks that the, you know, people wear, like doctors and stuff. I'll put that over my balls just to make sure that they don't touch.
Just put some hardcore cover on there.
Exactly. I mean, if they're not touching, it's not gay, right?
Hey, that's the rumor, man. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say.
I believe every rumor I hear. Especially if I read it online.
You're the problem.
No, I'm a solution. I'm a solution to there being too many facts out there.
You're the symptom.
Exactly. So they already announced the Fan Alley lady. She's already announced her next show is going to be on Cinco de Mayo.
Nice.
At the same place in Costa Mesa, and it's going to be a tribute to Marvel since the Avengers movie is coming out. And actually it got pushed earlier now.
Really?
It's coming out April 27th now. Not the weekend before.
So Marvel doesn't have any movies releasing on Free Comic Book Day or the day before?
Nope. Doing it the week before. Because basically they have like three movies releasing in the span of like a month and a half. So they want to give the Avengers a chance to... because they have like Han Solo, and they have another movie coming out.
Got you.
Basically the month of May and June.
Wow. You think they'd be smarter about releasing this kind of stuff? they wanted to own Q2 Movie Office, I see. Ballsy move. Released three major titles for Disney all in there. You'll win for sure.
So, but yeah, so I guess it'll give you more of a chance to watch Avengers before Free Comic Book Day, so you don't have to worry about missing Free Comic Book Day to watch Avengers or vice versa. You can go there, you can watch the movie and go to Free Comic Book Day, not having to worry about anybody spoiling it, because you're going to be in a room full of nerds that probably have already watched it four times by then.
That's fair. So if it does get spoiled for you, it's your fault at that point.
Exactly. Oh, and so so Han Solo, and then, I mean, it's not till July, but, and I don't know if Deadpool 2 counts, but, because that comes out May 18th.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would count.
I mean, that's not officially a Marvel movie, but it's a Marvel character.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to compete against their movie thing, so, you know, that's kind of weird that they would release so much in, like, such a short span of time. I mean, they're going to obviously dominate, like, the top three or four spots for a while, but I just don't know if that's the best decision.
Right. So in the span of a month, you had Avengers, Deadpool, and then Solo. Han Solo. It's Han Solo. Oh, man. I don't know why I know that song. I never played that game. The cheesy Kinect Star Wars game.
Yeah.
Because that was a bonus thing where you could do, like, have the characters dance. So you could dance as the character and the Han Solo song. It's Solo. I'm Han Solo. I'm Han Solo, Solo, Solo.
MC Chris, everyone, in the house.
Exactly, but he just did the cover of that song. That's actually the song from the game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He didn't write that shitty song. He's just doing the cover of it from the game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so if you don't want to play the game and want to hear the song, go check out MC Chris's cover of it. And it'll make you either want to play the game more or definitely make you want to play it less.
The power is yours.
Exactly. Decisions to be made. So then the next day, I ended up heading down to Downtown Disney.
Mm.
Which, you know, fuck Disney, man. Like, my wife's like walking around. She's like, oh my God, I want tickets. I want to come back here all the time. And now you have to go through, like, the same park security, basically, just to get into Downtown Disney. And so you have to go through full metal detectors. The dude we had, like, practically, like, was, like, digging deep down to the bottom of bags. It's like, I asked him, I was like, would it just be faster if I just dumped everything out for you? And he's like, no, because he was, like, every little thing that was a pouch, like, no matter how small it was, he was making people open up. Like sticking his whole, like practically sticking both arms and his head in there, no matter how big the bag was, he'd find a way to dive in. And it was just, you know, I mean, I'm very like libertarian in my beliefs. I'm gonna be a little political here, but if I don't have to deal with this, if banning guns means I don't have to deal with this shit anymore, like standing in lines like this for conventions and basically getting, rectally scanned, trying to go hang out at Downtown Disney, then maybe that's not the worst thing in the world.
The terrorists have won. We're stuck with all these shitty lines.
Exactly. And just people who, like, can abuse, like, even the smallest amount of power. Because not only do we have to, like, go through, like, get your bags checked, then you have to go through a metal detector and, like, I go through a metal detector every day at work, and I know how to do it. And these people, like, were just assholes about it, you know? There was no Disney magic in love with the security personnel. And then they also, I guess, people were taking advantage of the parking at Downtown Disney and were parking there to go into Disney Park. You know, maybe not, they weren't going there for the full day. To be honest, I did that once. I parked at Downtown Disney, went and had something to eat, and then went on like two or three rides and then left.
I feel like that's not that terrible.
No, but now there's like signs everywhere, and like they're checking. They actually have people stationed at the ticket. When you pull out your ticket, your parking ticket, mm-hmm. like you don't. You apparently people are either they're watching you, or they don't think people are smart enough to know how to push a button and take that ticket out because there's somebody there pushing the button for you and taking the ticket and handing it to you.
Oh, man.
But I got to see where they're opening a new tap room, and they're opening the Ballast Point Brewery. I can see where that's all going. I saw all that's going. It's not where I thought it was. I thought it was going to go where the Hard Rock, the House of Blues was, but that's a bowling alley, it looks like. They've already finished that. And so there's a lot of remodeling and construction going on down there, but basically where the Build-A-Bear, kind of right behind there, basically, in the dead center of downtown Disney, there's a little, roundabout of shops, and there's a little bar in the middle. But right on the outside of that is where they're putting in the Ballast Point and the Black whatever tap room.
Okay.
And so they're going to have burgers and stuff there, I guess. And so we ate at one of the restaurants, and the waitress there was kind of filling us in some of the details. So.
Okay. That's not bad.
My wife's cool, now that there's a brewery here, are you going to want to come back? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I don't know if I want to be violated again every time I want to come eat.
It's all right, man.
But our main goal for going down there was we had tickets to go to this place called The Void.
The Void.
And they had a thing called Shadows of the Empire. Basically, I had no idea what I was getting into other than it was a Star Wars thing. It was virtual reality, and there was a point in the where you had to get a gun. And I guess a lot of people forget to get the gun, and they're kind of walking with you in the room. And so if you don't grab the gun, they'll tell you to grab a gun, I guess, because I guess enough people have done it, walked out of that room weaponless.
What, are you going to go out to the battlefield and fight stormtroopers with a flower? You damn hippie.
I know. Though it was pretty cool because, when you got shot, it indicated when you got hit. There was one part where we went from our transport shuttle. We sat down and we kind of went across, and it felt like we were moving and we were kind of high up to the point where me, as someone who's afraid of heights, I had to talk myself down. I had to tell myself, this isn't real. This isn't real. This isn't real. Cause my knees started to buckle.
Oh boy.
Cause we were pretty high up over lava. That would have been pretty bad, man. If I would have fallen in all that lava.
Everybody wouldn't have to listen to the shitty birthday music in the beginning of this.
Exactly. Hey, I'm not the one that picked it, dude. If you picked shitty music, then that's on you. Everybody, boo Sean now if you hated the music. We'll give you 3 seconds. There you go.
Boo.
Are you saying boo or boo worms?
Honey boo boo?
I was saying boo worms. Man, but it was pretty cool. When you were in the lava, and there was a part where after you fought the stormtroopers, you had to fight this lava monster. And as it got closer to you, it got warmer. And you could feel the wind. And there's a part where you had to fight Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool, except it was really short.
Mm.
You were in teams of four, so it was just my wife and I. And then there was a team of six people that were already there, so we ended up partnering up with two of them. And then we went with them, and then the other four went after. But I told them it was basically comparable to losing your virginity. it was really short, and you had no idea what you were walking into or how to do it at first, but once you got the hang of it, it was a lot of fun. And you just wanted it to keep going, but you were sad that it ended.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it felt like it was 15 minutes. It might have been a little bit longer, I don't know, but it was the tickets were $25-$30 a piece for about 15-20 minutes of fun.
Mm.
But it was Star Wars, so I guess I'm supposed to be super excited about that and not care.
Where's your Star Wars nerdgasm coming? I'm just expecting to freak out.
I don't get too excited about things, which upsets my wife because she's the opposite. Everything is super exciting, but then everything is also super sad when she gets super sad, so.
Literally, she's like, her theme song is Everything is Awesome.
Pretty much. I was at a convention, and I found a shirt that had a corgi about on it, and written on the shirt was, I'm super excited about whatever. Which pretty much sums her up pretty perfectly.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of fun. She you know, she was trying to figure out where my, like, excitement level was, you know, asking me questions like, you know, would I do it again? And I was like, no, I don't think I'd do it again. And then she followed that up with, well, do you regret doing it? I'm like, no, because I wanted to know what it was. I tried it. It was a lot of fun. It just, it could have been another 5 or 10 minutes longer, you know, mm-hmm. which I guess means that I liked it because I wasn't like, oh, thank God this crap is over.
True.
But it was there for a couple months. I ended up getting in, like, the last Sunday, because I guess it ends this week. At time of recording, it'll be no longer there, but it was only at actual Disney locations. Mm. But then they also do other things. Like, they had, in a couple other cities, they also had a Star Trek one going.
Okay.
So, just keep an eye out for a company called The Void. Pretty nifty virtual reality. I don't even know if it's like a game / movie, because you're, like, walking through. It's like paintball and virtual reality. And the one thing I'm going to call bullshit on, though, was, like, the stormtroopers actually hit their targets. I actually got shot by stormtroopers, so I'm going to call bullshit on that.
That's fair, man. But, that's fair.
And the characters they had were from Rogue One, which kind of made me sad, because it's like, spoiler alert, but they all die.
No!
So apparently this took place before Rogue One, but after Episode 3, because Darth Vader was there.
Yeah, he was.
So, you know, the nerd in me is trying to figure out the timeline, but whatever. alternate universes, timelines, and shit like that are best left to the expert nerds, not some basic nerd like me.
Yeah, maybe it was all a dream.
The Inception, it was a dream within a dream.
Yeah.
So Disney released a couple trailers this week. One for a couple teasers, even, and they're actually teaser trailers. They don't show very much other than just the barest of bears that you'd want to see. They show one of them was a Christopher Robin movie, which,
yeah,
the internet is exploding because they want Ewan McGregor to be in the young Obi-Wan movie, not in a stupid bear Disney movie.
You know what? And I'm just gonna play, like, one little clip, and I don't. You're not gonna hear it, Danny.
What to do? What to do? What to do, indeed? Pooh? Christopher Robin.
Man, when Pooh says Christopher Robin, it just sends a chill back through my spine. It's so crazy to see, you know, the whole animals and, like, all of, like, Winnie the Pooh coming kind of back to life.
Right. I was never a huge Winnie the Pooh fan, but my wife is big to anything Disney and loves Winnie the Pooh. And when he first started talking, because there was a scene where, you know, Ewan McGregor, and up till that point, you don't know who he is, and you don't find out until Winnie addresses him as Christopher Robin, that it's basically older Christopher Robin. He's a man now, not a boy.
Yeah, exactly.
With a family of his own. But as soon as he starts talking, because, you know, he sits on a bench, he's distraught, and he's just, you know, trying to figure out what to do. He's, like, just repeating over, what to do, and you hear the voice behind, what to do, indeed. And, like you said, just the chills. And just, I was watching my wife, and she almost started crying, like, that moment. And it just, it was pretty emotional. I mean, that was, like, a perfect teaser trailer, because you figured out who Ewan McGregor was, you saw his family, you saw what his unhappiness is from, and you got to meet Winnie the Pooh again.
Yeah. No, I think it was beautifully done.
And then trailer ended. You know, I mean, that was all you needed. It's about a minute and a half. It looks really good. It's like the, it looks very England, because it's all gloomy and foggy and uptight and proper.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be very interesting. It almost kind of reminds me of Pan with Robin Williams, you know, like Peter Pan grows up and he doesn't know, like, remember anything. It kind of gave me, like, hints, like, it was kind of going to be like that, you know? It's like he's going to go on an adventure and see his old friends in the forest and whatnot. And, you know, I think he's going to, like, re-find himself. And I think it's going to be a very, I think, emotional movie.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. I had the same exact thought. After my wife watched, she wanted to watch it again. After she watched it the second time, I'm like, doesn't this feel very much like Hook? You know?
Mm-hmm.
The only downfall, though, is it's a Disney movie. So, well, I guess depending on your point of view, it's either an upside or a downside. Because it's a Disney movie, you're definitely not going to see Ewan McGregor's penis.
Yeah, I mean, we can only ask for so much in life.
I mean, there's. I guess you can go back and watch some of his older movies back when he it was in his contract that he had to show his penis in every movie. I guess that was pre Obi-Wan Kenobi days.
I think it was. It was before he started making family movies.
Right. So this movie is it just on the trailer. It just says coming soon, but I looked it up and this movie comes out August 3rd.
Oh boy, another big title this year.
Right. This is going to be a pretty busy summer. I mean, summer's already one of those times of the year. If you want to keep up on the movies, you can't miss a weekend because then you're already a week behind. And yeah. Then next weekend you have to watch two movies and you're screwed. So, I mean, it's starting even earlier. Normally that doesn't happen until like the middle of June-ish where like it's a movie a week. Now it's already coming out. Like April is the unofficial start of summer apparently. And you got to start watching a movie every week.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a busy... But you know what? There's a lot of good stuff, good movies coming out, though, that are just going to be really fun to, I think, watch. I mean, that trailer enough just made me want to, like, go check it out and see, you know, what it's going to be about. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, somebody's going to be cutting onions in the movie theater because they're bastards, but I think it's going to overall be good.
Exactly. And another, British smoggy, I guess not smoggy, but foggy, uptight movie that they came out with a trailer for is Mary Poppins Returns.
This one, I don't know. I need more. I need more information. It was just kind of like very played, and then it's like, you know, she's flying out of the sky with her umbrella, and you know, she comes back, and it kind of, like, you don't know who the people are that are talking to her, but obviously they know who Mary Poppins is. And, you know, they kind of do one of the old gimmicks where she's in the mirror and she walks away, but the Mary Poppins in the mirror stays there and kind of looks to see, like, where she's going.
Right, and that was a very Mary Poppins scene where, you know, she kind of, like, they address her and then she replies and walks off, and as she walks off, her image stays there. That's a very Mary Poppins-y thing, the magic of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know when they announced this movie originally, a lot of people were pissed because they're remaking Mary Poppins. And it wasn't until like somebody came and talked them down and told them to put away the, you know, torches and pitchforks that it's a sequel based on, you know, some of her other books. Not just, there's more than one book that mm-hmm. was written based on Mary Poppins. So
okay.
This is going to be a direct sequel. It's not a remake.
Okay, well, so, I think that makes it a little bit easier, you know.
Right, and that was their reaction. It's like, oh, okay, it's a sequel. Oh, okay, so then we don't need these yet. We'll keep them handy, but we won't hold them for now.
they're on the floor, in a safe spot.
Yes, they're close by, but they're not in the way. But I think Emily Blunt will make a pretty pretty good Mary Poppins. She's got the temperament and the personality from some of the movies she's been in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to see, I guess. I don't know if it's like the same kids, if it's like the same kind of time frame, if it's like direct, like shortly after this happened, or if these are like the original kids that she came to visit in the first movie's kids, and they're like the grandparents.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like how that timeline is.
And, you know, I mean, again, this is another really well-made teaser trailer, though, because you see, you know, a couple different characters that were from, you see Bert, and you see the the dad from the, well, I'm assuming is the dad from the original Mary Poppins, sitting on a bench, and you see they make a reference to the kite from the original movie, and then she comes in, and you just see her briefly, and then that's it. You just see her enough to know that it's Emily Blunt, she's Mary Poppins, she has magic.
Mic drop.
Trailer ended, yes. Releasing in theaters in December.
Exactly.
So I asked my wife, I was like, so if you could only watch one of these movies, and she's like, in theaters? And I'm like, no.
Forever.
Like, if you watched one, you are not allowed to watch the other one. And
I feel like she just had a panic attack and ran away.
She didn't quite she had a panic attack and couldn't run away. She was just like looking at me, and she was like, that's like asking me to kill one of our kids. I was like, but we don't have kids, so it's okay. You can kill our imaginary kid all you want.
Oh, man.
So she refused to answer.
I'm not surprised at all.
If I could have come up with a third movie in that vein that's coming out this year, you know, I could have dropped the good old fuck, marry, kill on her.
You know what? You may have got yourself killed in that situation.
Right. It's like you could either stay married to me and only watch one of these movies, or I die and you get to watch both of them.
Well, like, it was a good marriage. It lasted a while.
Are you going to have a quick death or a painful death? A painful death? Okay, well, I just want to know.
She's just, like, getting the knife out. Oh, what a shame. Shame!
Shame! I'm doing God's work. And again, if this situation would have happened, you would have been spared the shitty music that Sean picked.
True. Boo.
So I know we briefly touched on this last week, but you've had plenty of masturbating alone time with Persona 3.
Persona 3, you know. Having a lot of fun with this one. Somehow managed to level all three of my skills all the way to the max already, and it's not even like the end of summer, so I feel pretty set. The game is pretty hard to play and to figure out what to do, because now all I do is just run around and do a conquest to level up my social abilities so I can build better personas. But the game is really fun. Like, it's, there's some, like, you know, Persona got better in 4 and 5 in some of the mechanical ways and whatnot, but I still think it's still really fun. Like, the story is very interesting with the midnight hour that kind of comes around, and how there's other people that are like starting to come against you. It's pretty interesting, and you're starting to find out, like, the group has, there's some bad blood and bad history with some of the group members, and which makes it really interesting. The one thing that I'm still trying to really figure out is some of the romances, because, like, you start kind of talking to one of the girls, and it's just like your relationship, you're still friends. It's like you hang out with them again. So-and-so is starting to get interested in you, and you're just like, How do I play this dangerous game with three girls?
Exactly. I know after you played Persona 4, you kind of tried to get into 3 and you weren't a big fan of it. But then I guess after playing 5, and especially after playing Akiba's Beat, it made you realize how it's a much better game than you originally thought it was.
Yeah, the shitty graphics of Persona 3 out and the fun gameplay outweigh the better graphics and shitty gameplay of Akiba's Beat.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of the show, Man Thing, about Akiba's Beat, and he was kind of like, I was telling him about the NPCs, how they were just kind of, they weren't really textured, they were just silhouettes, and he didn't believe me how bad it was, so I sent him a video clip of some of the gameplay, and, like, you know, it starts off and there's, like, one or two NPCs around, and he's like, that's not that bad, it's very stylized, like, they blend in with the background, and they're very neon, and like, all right, just wait for it. And then it gets a little bit later where you're talking to somebody and there's like 30 of them behind you. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's just lazy. That's really bad.
No, yeah, man, Akiba's beat is just terrible. So I was running around in the dungeon with, and whenever I play Persona, I only bring the girls around, and I just kind of pick my Persona based off the different skill sets that the girls have. So you, I think, like, the, in the group, one's an ice, one's a wind, and one's like a cannon and does like a lot of physical. So I've been kind of bouncing between electric and fire abilities. So I talked to one of the robot girl that's kind of like, you know, plays that, doesn't understand, like, just kind of says whatever's on her mind because she doesn't understand, like, the human mind of there's some things you don't say. And she literally goes, "Why is there only girls here?" And she's like, "Is this, are you trying to set up a harem?" And I'm like, "Ah, I've been caught in real life."
quickly pulls up pants and...
The game knew my shit, my bullshit. I got caught.
You got caught. That's hilarious. I never thought the game would have shamed you like that.
Yeah, and it was just so funny. Like, the other girl's like, "You're right. Is this one of your sick fantasies?" I'm just like, ah!
Was there a chance for you to reply, or were you just standing there awkward and silent?
No, like the third girl, who's kind of like the leader of the, kind of like the leader of the group, is like, "It's fine that it's all girls. He's picking the group based off a skill set, so it doesn't matter if it's guys or girls." And kind of like pushes the and ends kind of the conversation.
I wonder if like if you had two girls that had overlapping skills, if that part would have been different, if the AI was advanced enough at that time for them to be able to program something in there like that. Because that would have been pretty cool. Like, if you had two wind girls, mm-hmm. but you just put them in there because they were hot.
That'd be funny. But no, I think I'm using all the girls that you can. I think it's like there's like a dog and a kid and then a couple guys. But it is what it is.
Right.
But outside of that, I mean, the gameplay is pretty easy. I think the only thing that it kind of bugs me, though, is, like, you're climbing one tower, and, like, different sections get locked, and as you kind of progress through the main story, the gates unlock, and then you can go to the next area. But the problem is you gotta find these people that get stuck in this world, and, like, you get, like, usually the save spot where you can enter the tower, like, you can enter at different parts, but they're about, like, 15 levels apart. So it'll be like, I'll have a save spot at like level at floor 50. It'll be like, "Oh no, somebody has stumbled into the TARDIS or whatever they call it. They're in levels, they're somewhere between level 46 and 49. Go find them." And I'll be like, "Fuck you." Ah, like, you could make it just like a few levels, and you can't go downstairs for whatever reason. You can only go upstairs. So that's kind of like some of the mechanical things that kind of irritate me about the game.
Right. Are you playing the PS2 version, or are you playing the PSP version?
The PSP version.
Okay, because from what I was told, there's no cutscenes in that, because I had the PS2 version that I had downloaded on the PS3 when I had that hooked up.
Interesting. So there's no cutscenes in the PSP version?
Yes.
Well, that's depressing.
I know, chose poorly.
I guess I did. Oh, well. Shame is mine. Where's the shame bell?
Exactly. The cone of shame.
No, hopefully I could beat the game this week. I am playing on easy mode and just trying to run through. I'm just mostly focused on the story, because that's the pretty fun part. I don't really care about the mechanics of doing over-grinding. It's kind of funny, like, I'll literally run through the whole TARDIS and that whole section in one night. And then I'll go back, like, another night and just restart and just go save all the people and just be done with it. Like, I only go into the TARDIS, like, two nights outside of the main story. Out of, like, the whole, like, day, all the days you get to go in there.
Right. You know, and we kind of talked about that last week. It's just, at this point now, it's like, we can either, you know, I guess we can put our ego and our manhood to the side and just actually play and just enjoy the game, as opposed to try to, you know, challenge ourselves to the point of frustration to where we kind of dread playing the game, or it just becomes that grind where it takes us, you know, 140 hours. Because I think Man-Thing said, I was talking to him about it, and he said that he played the game, and I think he put in like 140 hours on the game.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
And he beat it on hard.
Oh,
so.
Oh yeah, I can only imagine. That game has got to be so ridiculous. Those games are so ridiculous. Like, you have to really understand, like, all the... I bet he beat it before, right? Or did he just try it on hard out of the get-go?
He tried it on hard out of the get-go, because he's pretty hardcore sometimes.
Nice. Okay, yeah, no, I mean, the biggest thing is trying to understand and how to quickly realize, like, your enemy's weakness so that you don't get beat up, and then, of course, like, what's your enemy's strong point so you're not bringing in, like, characters that are going to get beat up on.
Right, and then have their attacks be ineffective.
Yeah, because that shit's really annoying.
how much weight do the weaknesses and strengths play on easy mode? Because I can imagine on hard mode, that's like, you know, like if you're using a wind character against somebody that's wind strong, you know, they're like basically it nullifies the damage. But is it negligible, or is it even that much noticeable when it's on easy?
I've only had a couple scenarios where the weakness like really like hindered the team and basically like almost team wiped us. But otherwise, like, it's not really that big of a deal. I feel like I'm getting to the point in my grind in like leveling up. Like, I should probably be a higher level than what's needed, but because it's easy, I'm still getting through it pretty quick. And I think you just level up in general pretty quick on easy mode. There's definitely a lot less grinding. So I noticed, like, when I first start, it's kind of rough, and then I'll level up like 3 times, and then it's kind of back to normal, and then I'll level up like another 3 times towards the end, and I'm just killing things. Like, I'm not even trying. I just like sneeze, and it's like, ah, dead.
Right. So, like, if you would do like one more raid a week, I guess to just grind up levels, then you would have little to no trouble at all going through, because you'd already be over leveled when you initially walk into a dungeon.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I mean, it just sucks because I have mine on the PlayStation 2 or the PlayStation 3. I mean, but I have the PlayStation 2 version, so I just gotta find a place to plug it in, because I have too many consoles and not enough TV.
You got that extra bedroom upstairs. Just go ahead and hook it up and have some alone time.
Exactly. Well, that's what it's downstairs for. That's why I bought the new TV for her upstairs, so she can go up there and enjoy TV, and I can sit on the couch and play games. I'm closer to the beer.
It just sounds like you're going to have to start unplugging things, man.
Sounds like too much work, man. Or get a splitter, I guess. I don't know. First world problems.
Exactly. All right, everybody. That's all the time that we have for today. Thanks again for hanging out with us. Check us out. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Facebook, and Instagram, and so much more. Another happy birthday to that painly ass Danny. Hope you had a good one.
Thank you, sir. I definitely did. All right. Until you showed up.
It was going good until you realized that you had to record a podcast.
Something like that, yes.
All right, everybody. We'll see you at the same time next week.
Next week, everybody.